on SEN Questions Without Notice. For Charlie Battisti & Co., Melbourne's finest facility for the repair of prestige German vehicles. Get your repair process started.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us, Georgie Samuels, Matty Johns, and our Australian time trial bronze medalist Rowan Dennis to join us this morning as well. Tim, the big question that needs to be answered over the next, I don't know what the time frame is around this in terms of the where the finals will be held, and in fact where will the grand final be held. We understand that the challenges that is being confronted by the AFL, the logistics of it must be a nightmare. I wake up, read the back page of the Herald Sun today, fill the MCG, Eddie Maguire and others with a bold plan for a full grand final crowd. You've had a read of it. Do you want to just... Well, let's have a listen to Eddie first of all, and I want to ask you the question, is this a realistic option for us in about 7 or 8 weeks' time?
There is an opportunity to put 200 testing stations in there. Rapid testing results in 10 minutes. Results will be linked to your ticket and for tracking and tracing afterwards if there's any issues. It will cost somewhere between $2.2 million and $2.5 million for 50 to 100,000 patrons. So that's not a big deal. So that works. It works as far as the time's concerned. It works as far as the everything
is concerned. So you're suggesting this plan is saying you could have a full house at the grand final.
This is to get anywhere from, say, 70 to 100,000 people.
Okay, the question is, would you be prepared to subject yourself to that to get to the AFL Grand Final if this was to go ahead? The proposal would see, Gary, all fans who attend, staff, players, coaches and club officials tested for COVID with a standard test on the Wednesday before the Grand Final. Then the second test, this time the rapid antigen test, required on arrival at the ground on the Saturday at one of 200 testing stations around the ground. And those tests provide the individual with the viral levels within 10 minutes. So you get your test back within 10 minutes. So you have your other test, which you've got to prove that you've had, right? And then you do the other antigen test at the ground. And then a ring of steel is put up, providing the MCG precinct a safety net effectively. So would you have any objection to submitting yourself to any of that?
No, I wouldn't. But the obvious question, and again, I'm just reading it like you, is that what if we've tested, we've all stood in line, everyone's there, you know, the grand final's ready to go, and we've all done what you said, and we're waiting for our second test, and we get five positives in five different lines all around the MCG.
That's right. Well, that's a major problem. That would be a major problem if that was the case.
And look, the suggestion is, this is Bruce Keeber, and who's for the big group, and Response Global's Ian Norton. So there's other. This is seems to be something that they are suggesting has happened overseas. That are they saying this happened at Wimbledon?
Yes, they said that this took place at Wimbledon this year.
Well, I mean, I'm open to it.
I don't know. I don't know where that's what they are saying, that it's already been tried and tested over. Eddie said a similar plan was used successfully at Wimbledon this year. Right, there you go.
Okay, so there's your question. 0439811116. Would you do that? Would you submit to a test on the Wednesday and then line up and have another test just prior to getting into the MCG if it meant that you were able to get 70 to 100,000 people at the MCG? And logistically, would that happen?
That's your choice. That would be your choice.
Yeah, and would stop.
Scalping?
Scalping. you can't just sell a ticket late on a Saturday, because if you haven't had the test on the Wednesday, you wouldn't be able to get yourself in there.
It sounds like a reasonable idea to me. Hmm. Like, I mean, the point that you made, which is a reasonable point, also in that. If five people tested positive at different parts of the ground and you've been standing in a queue with those people, what does it mean then to all those people that were around that person at the time? It sounds like a reasonable proposal.
Yeah, look, it's probably at the moment 70% of people saying, yeah, I'd submit to that. The other one, the question that's been fired, and this is not the area that we know too much about, but is the... how accurate these rapid tests are, the one that you'd have on the day of the grand final, whether or not you could trust them. The fallout, if you did get that right, would be pretty horrendous, given what we've seen happened at the Amy Stadium. But I guess these are the conversations that are being had. And look, it's up to the AFL. This is something that's been floated by Bruce Keeber and Ian Norton and Eddie and others, but the AFL would would have contingencies in place. We know they've booked accommodation over in Perth at the Joondalup Resort. So if we need to get teams over there to play the whole final series, they will.
Yeah, give us a call if you've got a strong view about this. Jamie has done just that in Darlinghurst. Good morning, Jamie.
Yeah, hey, boys. How are you?
Good.
Good,
what do you think? Thumbs up or down?
I'm a thumbs up, definitely, Wisp. But also, I'd go one further. We're suffering at the moment from low vaccination rates in the community. Why don't they just say, if you want to come, you got to be vaccinated and watch everyone, you know, lift the vaccination rates to get to the MCG for grand final day?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a question that's going to be hotly debated and put on the agenda at some stage as well, Jamie, not just for footy, but for other big major events that are taking place or will potentially take place around. I don't know whether it's going to get to that stage as early as this year's grand final, just because of...
The lack of access. Yeah, that would be a problem this year. But we're going to have to potentially live with this for a long time. So all these things are going to have to come into play, or the suggestion and the debate about these things will come into play and go on with a lot more earnestness as well.
Kathy says it doesn't take into account people coming from interstate who might plan to arrive the day before. Well, I guess, Kathy, if in fact this was, and look, this is just one that's been floated, I'm sure there'd be some sort of plans in place for you to be able to test interstate on the Wednesday if you weren't planning to get there until the Friday before?
Well, you probably can't hop on the plane unless you're COVID-free or symptom-free anyway. Steve's in Brooklyn. Good morning, Steve.
Morning, Jim. Morning, Gary. Earlier this week, I was visiting my doctor and we were chatting all things COVID, and he told me that the Amy Park exposure wasn't an outdoor venue crowd exposure situation. It was because it happened when all of the patrons were clustered together at the gates, all waiting to get in. That's when the exposure happened. So Eddie's idea is a noble one, but it's that would be the problem. Everyone in line, close together, waiting to get tested.
That's true. But what if they said to you, okay, in this section that's staggered, you know, like you can arrive here and this is your time to arrive and this is where you've got to file through and that type of thing. So you avoid it in some way as much as you can, all that congestion.
Yeah, and look, I would imagine then you're looking at blocking off large areas around the MCG. Like, I went to the Super Bowl there, it was 4 years ago, and there was, hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people at the actual venue or the area where the venue was, but there was a sort of ring of steel around the actual ground where it only allowed a certain amount of people, the 70,000 people to get into the actual ground.
This is from Mark. Hi, guys. 1 minute per test, 60 tests per hour times 200 sites equals 12,000. Thus, 6 hours to test. Let's start queuing at 6 a.m. We also found that transmission aim was while we were waiting in line. That's exactly what we're talking about there, Mark. Phil is in Bayswater. Good morning, Phil.
As a Collingwood supporter, Jen, it'd be a nice problem to have, though. I think the key thing, boys, is the Wednesday test, isn't it? If everyone holds up their integrity and gets a good test on the Wednesday and they turn the results around, you'd like to think that it's important for people to do the right thing and then we go to the grand final. And Tim, is this just a sneaky pushing it into a night grand final by 7, trying to delay the start, my friend?
Well, it hasn't been suggested by Channel 7. It's been suggested by Eddie and some other business people who are associated with big events around town. So, it seems like a reasonable... It's expensive. I mean, it is expensive. I mean, Eddie just sort of said, it's only going to cost $2.5 million. Well, it's still a lot of money, but then the associated...
In 6 million a year, it is.
That's right, but the associated loss around town makes that pale into insignificance.
Patrick's in the CBD. G'day, Patrick. Good morning to you.
Hey, boys. Gary, Timothy, Michael. You're talking about having the testing on the Wednesday and the Saturday. Why not push it back the Tuesday and the Friday, and then you attend the game and you've got to have proof of two negatives. Then you don't have the cluster.
Yeah, I guess all those things will be discussed, Patrick. I don't know what happens if you get an actual positive when you're at the ground with 100,000 or 70,000. Well, you'd be in a queue, so you wouldn't be with 100,000, but... I don't know. Questions for bigger minds than ours, Patrick, and I'm sure the AFL and the our health officers are working through all of that. It's a long shot, but it's good that people are thinking laterally. Hey, can I just move on? Charlie Kerner, I wanted to ask you this. So I watched your news last night.
Yes.
And it trumpeted that Charlie was back.
Yep.
And, after 2 years or however long. I've looked online. The reporting of this is negligible. I thought it would be a massive story.
Well, it is. It's reported in The Age this morning. Curnow on track for Saints clash. It's in the papers. Yeah, so maybe they just have omitted it in the online part of their papers. But it is reported in the papers today. Charlie Curnow on track for Saints clash. So it appears that he's going to play. He's going to play.
Ross Lyon spoke about this last night on Footy Classified.
I don't understand it. I can't fathom it. He's missed 2 years of football. Significant patella kneecap issues. You can only go off the information. He's played two reserve scratch matches. Not even legitimate 18v18 club. They're unlikely. I can't make the finals. I could understand if it was four and he's ticked them off. But two, sometimes you've got to save the player from himself. So he was walking in the week before. So it tells you he's not realistic. Their conditioner and doctor, no better than me and the coach. But I tell you, they want to be sure the risk is worth the reward here.
What do you reckon Ross would say at his press conference when he's coaching Fremantle if Pavlich had been out for however long or whoever, and then someone in the media started questioning whether or not it was right for them to play?
He would say that we're in the best position to make that judgment call.
Yeah.
And because we're closer.
How dare you question our medical people.
But he's in the media now. That's what he has to do. He has to have an opinion, and that is fine. I was thinking about this yesterday, Gary, though, and you asked me the question the other day, what do they gain? It's the same as, you're like North Melbourne as the team right now, playing together for the rest of this year. They gain that chemistry, that connection as a group, that belief as a group to go into next year. Now, they're not going to participate in this year's final series.
North Melbourne, did you say?
Yeah, I'm talking about North Melbourne, okay? So if you look at them as a team and you say, okay, what's there to be gained by them, you know, continuing to play right through this year? Well, it's all about that connection. The same thing applies for somebody like a Charlie Curnow to come into the team. Nothing's going to happen this year, and nothing may happen for Carlton this year. But for him, in his ability, his confidence to set himself up for next year, that's really important. That's important for somebody to be able to have that knowledge. If it works out well for him this year in the last four games, right? So he goes into a six-month break with confidence in his mind. Okay, I got through that four games. I can attack my preseason now. I'm going to be okay for next year. Right. As opposed to going in with that real doubt in his mind.
Okay.
If he wasn't to play.
But, so, and if it goes wrong?
Well, you've got to deal with the consequences, like all things
so,
in life.
Yeah, so what's the upside, though?
The upside is to have that confidence to go into next year.
But if he's confident enough to be, you know, ready to play, then he'll be confident enough with another 6 months of training under his belt, wouldn't he?
No, but he hasn't played. It's just a mindset.
No, I understand what you're saying. I'm just trying to work out what the upside is here for the Carlton Footy Club and for Charlie Curnow.
Well, I think there's also an upside. I think there's also for, you know, like, for the fans, you know, for Carlton, like they need some optimism as well.
Yeah, but you're not going to get that's a sugar hit, though, isn't it?
No, that's okay, but they need a sugar hit. Where they're at right now as a football club, yes, they do.
They're
need some
for
sugar.
Massive change. They're bracing for huge change. I don't know whether this is going to sustain. Well,
what if he inspires them to victory over the next 4 weeks and David Teague keeps his. Like, there's all sorts of things that
I'd
can
suggest
come.
That's a very knee jerk response to the. To the review.
Okay, let's go back to this though, this point. And you have to trust, and he has to trust. Charlie does, okay, despite what he wants to do and how excited he is about playing and how desperate he is to play, he has to trust that the people around him who have been following his day-to-day activities, his recovery, his rehabilitation for 2 years, are in the best position to make a decision on his behalf with him.
Okay, hold the thought. Kia Sorento Drive Car of the Year. We'll get your thoughts on that and other stuff on the other side of this.
The country is back racing strong. Book now at country.racing.com. Kogan credit cards. No annual fees, amazing rewards and complimentary Kogan First membership.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Great to have you with us. The 7-seat Kia Sorento just being crowned Drive Car of the Year. A lot of Carlton fans coming through, and they are all in your corner, Wispy. They're very happy and delighted that Charlie's coming. I'm delighted too, by the way, doing the game on Friday night, so it'll be a really big storyline around it. Just hope it gets through. Hope he gets through soundly. Do you give him a run in the VFL, Wisp? Just let him run around. Don't have to worry about the pressures that come with playing in a big AFL game. That would be another option.
Yeah, I don't know what they've done training-wise. You would think that they're putting through all that, though, wouldn't you? Like, they would one-on-one training, put him on weathering for a while, see how he goes on him.
Yeah. But that's different, isn't it? I mean, look, again, please don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to talk him out of it, but you can play in the VFL after not having played for 2 years and not have to worry about anything. Not have to worry about manning up, not have to worry about chasing, not have to worry about anything. Just try and get through. But if he does play and he gets through, then you're right.
Well, they won't want to make a mistake here. The eyes of the footy world are on them. Darren,
I don't
understand. Darren's in Templestowe. Good morning, Darren.
Morning, guys. How are we doing?
Yeah, we're going okay. What do you think about Charlie Curnow coming back and possibly playing this weekend?
Look, massive Carlton fan, and as much as us baggers are really, you know, looking for something to hang our hat on, you were just saying before about trusting the medical team. At Carlton, that'd be the last group of people that I'd put any trust in if you have a look at our injury list.
Okay, so...
They've got a long injury list. I would say that Andrew Russell, who's your... And he's under a bit of pressure at the moment. His name's been bandied around, but he... I don't know. I only know the people who've worked with him, and they speak so highly of him. So the best interest of Charlie will always be at the forefront. And as Tim says, the Carlton people would be not taking an unrealistic risk with him, so they must think he's ready to roll.
What do you think? Somebody sent a text in before about the fact that Harry Mackay, him being out, no McGovern, has it added pressure to Carlton actually allowing themselves to make this decision?
No, I would not think in any way, shape or form.
I don't either.
It'd have anything to do with who's in there and who's not, and someone suggested it's about David Teague trying to save his job. That would have absolutely nothing to do with it at all. It's about what they think's right for Charlie, and fair enough, we'll sit back and we'll watch.
It's a long time out of the game,
Anthony.
It's
very noble of you, my friend. Michael Whiting from AFL Media writes, it's time for the Brisbane Lions to unleash their wild card and the Kaya Cockatoo. What about that, Whisper? I think this is a fascinating story.
He is, but where's he been? What's he been doing? What's his form line?
He's been playing.
He's been on Broadway. I haven't seen him play. When was the last time you saw Nakia Cockatoo play?
I think I played against him in my last game. I'm being facetious. I don't know. It's obviously been to, you talk about clubs knowing better than anyone else. If he plays, Brisbane must think he's ready to play. It'd be a fascinating wild card. It is the area where they're a bit vulnerable, I think, anyway.
Talk about a wild card. That is a wild card. That is an absolute wild card because we knew that they were actually flirting with the idea of playing him in the back six. I don't know where that ended up, but talk about somebody that's had enormous potential but has never been able to put it together for one reason or another, and often it's been because of injury.
Even in your wildest dreams, thinking that he might be part of the Brisbane Lions finals campaign, you'd want to play him now, wouldn't you? You'd want to play him before the finals. You wouldn't want to just trot him out once the finals start.
Mm. Yeah, no, but it's sort of like, if his form warrants it and there's a position there for him, and you would think, on this, it's so hard to talk about him because we've seen such little game time from him over the years.
Well, we'll just watch with great interest. How delighted are we to be able to speak to our next guest, who's come from seven shots back, if you don't mind, made birdie at the first playoff hole to win the Evian Championship in France, her first major. Her name is Minji Lee, and she's been good enough to take our call. Minji, welcome to the program.
Hello, thanks for having me.
It's a great thrill. We know you've got a lot on your plate. You're heading to Tokyo for the Olympic Games as well, which is something I'd imagine is going to be one of your great career highlights. But talk us through that amazing seven-shot comeback in recent times, one of the great wins.
It was a pretty special week, my first major championship win. So, I didn't really have too much on my mind. I try to make as many birdies as I could. Beginning of the day, I was seven shots behind. So, just try to do your best and just play to the best of my ability and just do what I could control, really.
I mean, you being seven shots behind going into the last round, did that just sort of free up your mind a little bit?
I wasn't really, I didn't expect to win, but I really wanted to finish, in the top five or, I was like, that's goal today. Just happened that way. And I played really, really well to finish seven under. So, and even to put myself in that position, I think I did the best. I gave myself the best opportunity.
Do you now feel like you've got more confidence than you've ever had before, or is golf just one of those games that just test you every time you step out to play?
I feel really good, but you know, golf, you never know. It's always a work in progress, and you know, I think that's probably why we just keep coming back for more, right? But yeah, I do feel like I had a huge boost of confidence. You know, I played pretty good the week before, and I wasn't really expecting to win, but I won, and I just am really, really happy.
Well, you should be as well. We were so proud of you. I mean, you've been such a fantastic performer on the circuit for a long period of time, but your first major, had it been playing on your mind?
You know, like 50-50, you know, a lot of times people are like, oh, when are you going to win your next major? Or I mean, when are you going to win a major? you know, I feel like I've heard it a lot. So, you know, it's always kind of on the back of my mind, and it was one of my next goals to try and win a major championship. So I can now say that I have ticked off one of my goals.
Yeah, and done it magnificently well in the finest of styles. What about the fact that your brother also won in recent times over there in Scotland, Minwoo, which is just another reason for us to get so proud of our golfers who have performed so well on the world stage? I mean, talk us through the emotions of watching him do that.
I think I was like more emotional watching him win than when I won. it was just really great to see him do so well amongst such, such great players, and, you know, just to win in a playoff, I think it's just the best. So it is the best feeling. And I know he is over the moon to be able to, you know, win on such a high stage. And I think he's just really super excited.
I know you've formed a relationship with Kari Webb over the years, and she's been in your corner. How important has it been for you, and what sort of support has she provided for you?
It's been really good. When I was an AM, I won a couple of the Kari Webb scholarship series. So we were able to spend like a week at the US Open with her and stay with her and see what she was doing throughout the week. So no, that has been such a priceless experience for me, and you know, it's just really great to know Webby. She's like pretty chill, you know, you can ask her anything and she'll answer, and I just think having her on your corner is just really great.
Golf hasn't always been associated, it's never been associated with the Olympic Games. And I don't know whether you caught up with this or not. I don't know how much of the Olympic Games you might have been watching, Minji, but Owen Wright in surfing got a bronze medal the other day. And I was just absolutely knocked to the ground with his reaction, how excited he was. What would it mean to you to win a gold medal at the Olympic Games for Australia?
I don't even know. I think I'd be even more speechless. it would be just such a great, great honor, I think, to be able to win a medal for your country. I think I'd just be super proud to even, I mean, like every time, the last time the Olympics came around, I was super, super humbled to be able to represent Australia, and, you know, now Tokyo. So I just want to perform even better. Just more motivation to do well.
We're speaking with Minji Lee, who's heading to Tokyo. You're in Dallas at the moment. When do you actually fly to Tokyo?
I'm going to Tokyo on Saturday.
Has it been a big talking point amongst the ladies on the circuit? Is it something that, as Tim said, it's new, we don't always associate it with the Olympics? Has it been something that the rest of the playing group are as excited about as you?
I think all the girls are really, really excited to go to the Olympics. They were even for the Rio Olympics when they first brought it back. But, everybody is really excited. And some people are already over there. So,
what do you know about the course that you'll be playing on, Minji?
I know the greens are really big. That's all I know. And I know the weather's going to be quite hot, so...
How do you celebrate when you've won your first major? What does that look like that night? Do you go out for dinner with the girls, with your team around you? How do you celebrate a major victory?
Actually, I didn't really have anybody with me except for my caddy last week, just because of the travel restrictions. But it was nice. After I won, there was like at the Evian, there's like a beer garden, so everybody was just hanging out there and having a beer. So I just just hung out with them and had a few drinks, and it was just really nice and chill. Well, and then when I got back to Dallas, my brother's birthday yesterday, so.
Oh, nice. Well, we're just so proud to be able to sit back and watch our athletes perform on the world stage. We're all caught up in the Olympic fever, as we were with your fantastic victory last week, and we look forward to you representing our country in the style that we know you will in the coming days. So thanks so much for giving us some time, and well done again.
Thank you so much.
Still Australia marginally in front. It's Netherlands trying ever so hard, but the Australians are holding on and win gold. Oh, what a performance. Australia gold, Netherlands second. And in third, Ireland, Great Britain fourth. What a magnificent performance.
Indeed it was, and the whole country, I don't know where you were, you just stopped whatever you were doing, you sat yourself down and you couldn't leave because we were just winning gold medal, after bronze, after gold. It was a great day, and Lucy Steffen was a member of that team, and her father is Gus. He's a farmer up in Nil. He's been good enough to join us this morning. Gus, congratulations to you and your family. What a great moment it was.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. Thank you.
Where were you? When your daughter created some history?
Yeah, we're just out in the farmhouse, actually. just my wife and myself and my son that works here with us and his girlfriend, Jerry. So, yeah.
Were you going crazy, jumping up and down like the rest of the country?
We didn't. If you had a tape, if you wouldn't have heard any of the commentary, you would have heard a fair bit of yelling and shouting. Yeah.
Hey, Gus, congratulations to you and Lucy and the family. The journey and the story behind all this is extraordinary, though, because people who aren't familiar with the Wimmera wouldn't know that Nil, where you come from, where your farm is, there's no water around there. So where did Lucy actually learn to row, and how did she get excited about the whole sport of rowing?
Well, it all started off when she's down at primary school, and they went up to the AIS in Canberra and had a go on and her go, and she beat the boys and thought, oh, that probably wouldn't be too bad to do at some stage. and then the last 3 years of her secondary school, she went down to Ballarat Grammar, and of course I got a rowing program there. No water in Lake Wenderee, so they all had to get in the bus and go down to Geelong and row on the Barwon. And yeah, that's how it all started.
So it's just a remarkable story. So from that early age, did she sort of have this dream about maybe representing Australia one day in rowing?
I don't know if she had it right at the start, but she, once she got to Melbourne University, she had a dream of rowing for Victoria and ended up doing that. And sort of then went to the national stage sort of thing.
So, Gus, I mean, we're just fans. So we're sitting back and we thought the girls were magnificent, the guys were great. Can you give us an insight? I mean, AFL footy is our code. That's the one we understand best. And the players sacrifice plenty and work as hard, but they get really well paid along the way. I mean, how big a struggle or challenge is it for someone like Lucy to be able to, it doesn't happen overnight. There's so many years of preparation. I mean, what's that challenge been like?
Oh, look, it's really hard for us because, as you know, we were going through drought times back then and battling on the farm and trying to put, two boys through Ballarat Grammar at the same time as putting Lucy through university. And as well as that, paying airfares for her to, to go to trials and stuff like that. Yeah. And, it was a really, really hard battle then. It's become a lot better now. Gina Reinhart's come on board with Rowing Australia, and she's been absolutely fantastic. Like, she's just been a godsend to rowing, really.
And it's a great, isn't that a great insight into it? I mean, this is the culmination of, we always talk about the sacrifice of the families and everyone else, but you just articulated it so well, Gus, so makes it even more special, I reckon.
All worthwhile yesterday, Gus.
Yeah, well, it was the pinnacle. You know, it was always Lucy's dream, like, especially since about 2015.
Yep.
You know, they got late call up to Rio in 16, and of course the team hadn't trained for 8 weeks before the Olympics, and they only got called up about 10 days before. So, you know, they had no training, and as you blokes know, you know, if you don't go to footy training for 8 weeks, you're not going to play real good footy on Saturday.
And when does the sign go up outside Nil, birthplace of Lucy Steffen?
I don't know. That's up to our local shire. Though.
Come on. Have a chat to the local shire. Should be up there by now, or at least by the end of the week.
Yeah, I'd like to see one of the young fellas around Nil, or he's probably not that young anymore, but I think he's a young fella. He's got a couple of these billboards, you know, like you see on the side of the highway, slow down, you know, it's going to be roadworks or whatever, and he's got coloured ones, and he's had the Olympic rings and Aussie, 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 oi, 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 and go Lucy on it. On one side of, on the Melbourne side of Nil, and then I went in the last night just to buy some tea because we couldn't be stuck cooking it. And I went into Nil, and they had still had the Aussie, 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 oi, 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 but, you know, then it had congratulations, Lucy, gold or something like that on it. So that's really good, you know. Everybody on the main highway can see that. So, yeah, put Nil on the map.
You're going to get more of that, Gus. She's going to be big, big news when she comes back. I suppose now the question's got to be asked, who's the biggest star from that neck of the woods? Is it Lucy Steffen or the old wisp, Tim Watson?
Yeah, Tim probably wasn't a bad footballer in his day, but he's sort of passed it now. So, I'd have to say Lucy, I reckon.
I do too.
Hey, Gus, Gary and I both, we love the country life. We've got a little bit of dirt. Not as much dirt as you got up there at Nil, but you sound like a John Deere-type tractor man to me.
No, I've actually got a Caterpillar.
Oh, jeez.
You're going to trade up after that gold medal yesterday?
I don't think rowing. Look, as Lucy's always said, if I was as good at football as what I am at rowing, she said I'd be a millionaire. So, it just doesn't quite pay like football does. So
we have to get her back on the farm, Gus. Get her back on the farm and help you do a bit of crutching.
Yeah, I'm too bloody old for that now. So, yeah.
Hey, you're a star, mate. It's just so nice to hear your voice and hear your story and how challenging but how rewarding it has all been. And there's nothing more rewarding than seeing your kids achieve their goals. So we're thrilled for you and your whole family and especially for Lucy yesterday. Thanks for jumping on this morning.
Nah, you're welcome. No worries at all.
Good on you, Gus. Just quickly, did you shed a tear yesterday, Gus?
Yeah, I did, actually. Yeah, I'm getting bloody sentimental on me old age.
That's fair enough, too.
Did you have a couple of beers last night when you went and got the takeaway?
No, we actually sat down many years ago when Lucy first started rowing and she went overseas for the Under-23 World Championship. So they had a bit of a fundraiser and it was Yarra Valley wines and so they bottle up wines and they had labels of all the Under-23 team.
Yeah.
And I went in and asked for a heap of Lucy Steffen labels, so we just bought boxes with only Lucy Steffen in it, which was probably a bit greedy. They meant to have one of every team member, but I just wanted all these labels and we still got some of those bottles left. So we had to crack one of those yesterday and it was really good.
you had to get the top shelf stuff. Lucy is the pride of the country and thanks so much for sharing your story this morning, Gus.
No worries at all.
Go on, you Gus.
Hold on, Gus.